Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. I'm Glenn Moberg, and today we take Route 51 to the Stevens Point Business 51 exit, south to Division Street, west on Main Street to the downtown area, with busy mom-and-pop specialty retail stores selling musical instruments, jewelry, books, and clothing. Also, you'll find the library, diners, and the Children's Museum. But you'll also find a nearly vacant Center Point Marketplace and the city's opera house, the Fox Theater, which has been shuttered and closed for 30 years. Well, all that's about to change. On Tuesday, voters in Stevens Point did what they almost never do. They passed a $5.9 million referendum, which promises to make big changes, moving Mid-State Technical College into the mall, refurbishing and reopening the Fox Theater, more than quadrupling the size of the Boys and Girls Club, and creating a new downtown that is a mix of retail, educational, and cultural center. Joining us today, Stevens Point Mayor Andrew Halverson, who made the referendum the signature piece of his administration. Also, the city's Community Development Director, Michael Ostrowski, and the Executive Director of the Stevens Point Downtown Business Association, Sarah Robinson. If you've got questions about what's going to happen downtown and how fast, if you voted for the referendum and you're excited about those changes, or if you voted against it and you still have concerns, please give us a call at 1-800-780-9742. Again, this is your radio show, so you can join the conversation at 1-800-780-9742. Also, if you're listening to us on 9:30 a.m., Auburndale Stevens Point, a reminder that the station switches to low power at sunset. So you can also find this broadcast on 89.1 FM, WHAA, Adams, Wisconsin Rapids. Or if you live on the north side of Stevens Point, you may be able to pick us up on 91.9 FM, WLBL, Wausau. Those of you listening up north can hear the program on 90.3 FM, WHBM, Park Falls. Mayor Halverson, you accomplished what very few people have been able to do in Stevens Point, bring a referendum proposal before the citizens and have them pass it. Your reaction?
Well, Glenn, thank you, first of all, very much for having the three of us here to be able to talk about it. My reaction is one of pride in the community and really being proud of the citizens for being able to step forward and say, we're ready to self-define what our future is going to look like. We're ready to take action and realize that the multifaceted approach to this particular project, and quite frankly, the amount of stakeholders that we had built into this project, was one that really was a referendum of practicality that I think really resonated with them. So we're extremely excited, and we're very proud that you're right, in a world and in a time of referenda failure, not only in the Stevens Point community, but really throughout central Wisconsin, that this was one that was extremely unique. And we built it in a way where we were going to prove to the citizens that this investment was truly an investment that was going to have an extreme return on that investment moving forward.
What do you mean by a lot of stakeholders? Who are they?
Well, we built a cross-section of public-private partners that were able to really build the rationale to this. We have, you know, a wonderful opportunity to move a college into our downtown. So obviously, Mid-State Technical College and their leadership were huge stakeholders in this. The Boys and Girls Club, from a youth intervention perspective, was a huge, huge part of this. Their boards of directors collectively were a huge support for us. We have a great children's museum. The Central Wisconsin Children's Museum is in the middle of downtown and will have tremendously better exposure with this. The Fox Theater had always been a factor that residents had wanted to see that move forward as quickly as possible. We realized that we could take all of that variability, all those different stakeholders, and in essence, all those different successes that are intertwined with this referendum, put them into one project and really have that resonate with the people. And thankfully, 57.4% of the voters agreed that this is something that we wanted to do.
Now, this is a big change, and like all big changes, it's a controversial proposal. You can't have change without people getting upset about it. And you see a lot of those people in the comments section in articles in the Stevens Point Journal. What do you say to the 43% of the people who voted no and still have doubts?
Well, what I want them to really recognize more than anything is our intention to use this money wisely to have the greatest impact on their community. Even though they might have been against it, they might have had their own reasons in terms of the amount of money. We've really tried to speak to as many concerns as possible. Folks didn't want the Community Development Authority being in charge of this project. Well, we made it very clear that we wanted to disband the CDA and pull that Redevelopment Authority back to the Common Council. They wanted public input sessions. We made sure that those were created by resolution to be able to have a great deal of public input now in terms of what's going to happen to the center portion of that building, for example. There were concerns that we were moving too fast, but we tried to answer those concerns and saying that Midstate, if we're going to capitalize on this great opportunity to pull a college right into the middle of our downtown, that they had time constraints that we needed to be able to help them attain. So those concerns were certainly resonating with a lot of the folks, and we wanted to answer those as quickly as we could and as clearly as we could, and I think we were able to do that.
Now, you mentioned the time frame. There is a court challenge saying that the city was wrong to put the measure on the February 15th ballot and that it should be voted on again in April. Does that pose a serious problem for you?
Well, in essence, the way we've looked at that challenge is we've talked to three outside separate attorneys on the matter, and when bonding measures are taken to referendum by the governing body, in essence the Common Council of the city, that supersedes the petition because we have a window of opportunity. There's a 30-day period of time where an initial resolution for bonding is passed. There's a 30-day window in which the governing body can call for a referendum, which they did. And the reason the Common Council called for a referendum is, one, they wanted the people to be directly engaged. There was a concern about that. We wanted to make sure that folks could weigh in on this. But we needed to do it in a time frame. Should we get a yes vote, and thankfully we did, that we were still at least 3 months early on making sure that the architectural designing, the engineering, and Midstate's financial processes with the state offices were able to be maintained. And
cynics, that's really cynics are saying that you did it on February 15th because you thought it would be easier to pass on that day.
Well, I think it would have probably been easier to work through if you were looking at April, quite frankly, in that you were going to have more turnout, you were going to have more people involved. But I think we really had a time crunch. We knew that a message was able to get out there for the reasons why it made sense and for equally, certainly enough time for those who were opposed to it and wanted to raise their concerns. When you have roughly a 4 to 6 week period of time, a lot of dialogue, meetings, and certainly getting that information out there was very possible. So it wasn't it really wasn't a move to try and usurp the public process in any way. It was trying to make sure that that vote was able to go to the people because they wanted it, and we wanted to make sure that some level of efficiency and timing was able to be preserved in the eventuality of a yes vote. We got that yes vote, and now that will keep Midstate on track to open their new college for the fall semester of 2012.
You got a community development block grant during this process. Governor Walker ponied up with $750,000. How significant was that?
Significant because it allows Midstate to be able to fully renovate the square footage that they were looking at to do initially. And that's something that was a huge component of this. To then have the state of Wisconsin, the Department of Commerce, the governor be able to recognize the uniqueness of this project. And really all the credit goes to the gentleman to my left, Community Development Director Michael Ostrowski, who wrote this successful grant. And the basis for this grant was started after a name that will certainly resonate through the Wausau community, then Community Development Director Mike Morrissey, who was on the show with myself over a year ago with Mark Craig talking about downtown. He came up with that initial idea. Michael wrote a very successful grant, and we were able to get the entirety of that grant.
And the subject of that show a year ago was a comparison between downtown Wausau, which was thriving, which had a number of elements that seemed to be working very well, including our city's, or the Wausau's old opera house. It is my city because I live in this area. The old opera house, the Grand Theater. And now, here it's a year later, and we see many of those same components that we talked about in a compare and contrast way a year ago coming to fruition in your community.
Exactly. We're able to build on this referendum success to be able to really have a lot of those different pieces be a part of this, as you said. For us to be able to have a smaller venue, the Fox Theater will be between 500 and 600 seats, as a really new, great, state-of-the-art 21st century cultural center in the middle of our community. But we realized that we had different components and different ways that that can be done in Stevens Point. We have different factors that Wausau didn't have, but yet we wanted to be able to emulate a lot of that success. So we built a project that was able to really accomplish that. And that $750,000 that you talked about from the state, obviously during these economic times, is a tremendous, tremendous shot in the arm for us to make sure that we bring this to fruition.
Well, let's move things to the guy who got that community development block grant written, Michael Ostrowski. Is this a vision for downtown that can be successful, and how does that vision stack up against the vision being used in other successful downtowns?
It is a vision that can be successful. One thing that a downtown needs to prosper and survive is a range of different educational opportunities, social opportunities, retail. And Stevens Point is looking to do that through the redevelopment of the Center Point Marketplace, bringing Mid-State downtown, working with the Children's Museum, opening up the Fox Theater. And in order for a town to be successful, it needs a range of those opportunities.
So you're saying that just relying on retail doesn't cut it anymore?
It's very difficult to rely on a single source of information through your community. When you just have retail, if the retail sector is down throughout the economy, the whole downtown is going to be down. If you have a mix of retail, office, you know, other educational opportunities, it can help bring life into your downtown.
And to what extent, when you think of retail centers, you think of the retail strip in Plover, you think of Rib Mountain, you think of places that are typically off of the major highway, off of Highway 51. It really does take something different to get people to go into the downtown area.
Correct, and that's what pulling in the foot traffic through Mid-State Technical College. The college has about 570 full-time equivalent students, and through that shift in the population downtown, that will help support the existing retail and other organizations that are in the downtown.
Now, the mayor already touched on this, but did you use Wausau kind of as a paradigm for some of what you were trying to accomplish?
I think Wausau has been successful in their downtown redevelopment, and Stevens Point has a number of unique opportunities that are different from Wausau as well. So it was kind of a mixture.
I mean, the similarities are very striking, both of the communities on the riverfront, and I would argue that Stevens Point is using its riverfront to better advantage than Wausau is because of Fifner Pioneer Park and the beautiful amenities along that stretch. That's something Wausau is still trying to do. But you've also got, the old retail center. You've got the mall in the center of downtown instead of along the highway. And right now you've got that theater. You've got the Fox Theater in Stevens Point and the Grand Theater in Wausau.
Very true. And what's interesting for us is as we look at the shifting retail paradigm that we've had, certainly in Stevens Point, is one of the biggest challenges, I think, of this referendum and really downtown revitalization as a whole is our community had to accept that downtown is no longer the retail center of Portage County. It's no longer the sole retail destination in the area. The redevelopment that we went through in the late 70s and the early 80s, which brought about the situation that we have to fix today, really had the mind that was going to maintain its retail destination through really the next 25 to 30 years. Well, as you build Crossroads Commons and you have really all of this growth that happens at the periphery, you've got Highway 10 East, you've got Crossroads Commons in the village of Plover, you've got B and 54 in Plover, all of that retail energy shifts to where you can have on Highway 51, on Route 51, if you will, some 30,000 ADT that go by those businesses. So we had to change the focus.
What is an ADT? I'm sorry.
I apologize. Average daily traffic count.
Okay. Thank you.
That's for my DOT friends today.
and that's Department of Transportation.
Yeah. Right. So we had to have a focus and we had to lay out a plan that was going to allow for a new use and a repurposing, if you will, of downtown. Educational opportunities, cultural opportunities, entertainment destinations, that needed to be a part of it. Your riverfront common is very important because the quality of life and our completely refurbished farmers market and square, which we're going to embark on in just about a couple months, will have over $1 million of investment just into the city square to really build that plaza feeling and a destination for folks to be in it, to go to the farmers market, and then to connect the riverfront more into downtown so folks will feel free to simply flow back and forth, literally, between the river and the square.
Let's move to Sarah Robinson of the Downtown Business Association. Sarah, you've already got some great locally owned businesses downtown. You've got Jim Lobb's Music. You've got Lee Ayer's Jewelry. You've got a clothing store that will not be mentioned. Why is it necessary to pass something like this when you already have these thriving local businesses?
Yeah, thank you. We definitely have had success. We have a number of businesses that have been down there for quite some time. But, when we look at how downtowns continue to develop and continue to kind of reinvent themselves, retail is really not something that is as I guess, central as it once was. You know, we, when we go through our strategic planning sessions, we're really looking forward to cultural aspects. So the Children's Museum, the Fox Theater, the Smith Garbaccio will be opening back up with the University of Wisconsin downtown. So being able to bring in kind of these more all-day activities. So you're able to stop down and grab a cup of coffee and stop at the museum and pick up something at Geppetto's on your way back. So, you know, having something like MSTC down here and bringing not only the foot traffic and the average daily traffic counts, but also, you know, being able to bring in people that, you know, we find that people who come through downtown more often are more willing to come back on the weekends or nights or, you know, so it's that top of mind type thing that we like to have as well.
How much of a drag is that empty mall to the downtown retail
business? It's horrible right now. I mean, I've been in my position for 3 years living in Stevens Point for 8, and I always say, you know, if you came downtown and the first place you went was the mall, you would never come back because it really looks like we are a dying downtown. But when you come onto Main Street, we are vibrant and alive. We have the lowest vacancy rates we've had in 10 years. So, you know, to have that weight on the shoulders of the businesses that are really trying to be successful has certainly been detrimental.
Sarah Robinson and Michael Ostrowski and Mayor Andrew Halverson were talking about the successful referendum that will remake downtown Stevens Point. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. More discussion, and we're going to focus on the Fox Theater right after this.
Support for WPR comes from UMR, a United Healthcare company providing employee benefits administration, integrated health management, and pharmacy benefits administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More at umr.com.
I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. We're talking about the referendum that promises to revitalize downtown Stevens Point. Let's pick up on the Fox Theater, which is going to be a major part of that. And I want to start out, I think, by playing a news story that I put together just a couple of weeks ago when the announcement that this would be a major part of the referendum issue attracted quite a crowd downtown.
A large crowd stood in front of the old Fox Theater on Main Street to hear from co-owner Ada Sanders, whose great-grandfather built the Opera House back in 1894.
Transform this wonderful old theater into a state-of-the-art cultural center.
Sanders and her sister and brother have maintained and insured the Fox ever since it closed in 1985, a casualty of the Stevens Point Mall whose construction resulted in the demolition of the theater stage. Today's announcement was welcomed by the city's performing arts community, including local bluesman Otis McLennan.
It'll bring live performance back to a great old building. It was originally built as an opera house. This is a moment in history for Stevens Point.
But the plan hinges on voter approval of a referendum question on February 15th to have the city acquire the nearly vacant mall, demolish part of it, move Mid-State Technical College into what's left, and rebuild the Opera House stage. The referendum is being pushed by Stevens Point Mayor Andrew Halverson.
This community has waited for 30 years for this day, honestly. And when you look at a cultural bedrock that has so many memories associated with it, so many first dates, so many movies that people remember.
79-year-old Ann Sherrill remembers many of those movies.
Oh, this is where we went. This was the place where we came to the movies. And I married my high school sweetheart, but I have to find our spot up on the balcony. And here we go. First, we have to pass the referendum.
The referendum has become an issue in the race for mayor. In Stevens Point, I'm Glenn Moberg for Wisconsin Public Radio News.
Well, that story was recorded and produced and ran a couple of weeks ago, and that referendum has been successful. And as Ann Sherrill said, here we go. The Fox Theater is your shuttered old opera house is going to reopen again. And what I'm interested in is how much effort did that take on the part of the Sanders to keep that place in a condition where it could be reopened instead of being torn down? I mean, it's been vacant since the 1980s.
It's been vacant actually since the mid-80s. And the Sanders family has been committed. They've been very patient. They've waited for the right opportunity for folks to be able to come along. They've had a lot of chances, not opportunities. They've had a lot of chances to sell that building for a variety of different uses, nightclubs and a variety of other things. And they've waited until exactly the right time and the right mechanism to be able to really bring it back to its historical glory. It's absolutely gorgeous. The theater ceiling itself is beautiful. So their effort and their investment has been tremendous.
So they had to pay for the insurance. They had they had to pay to keep the utilities, the heat on, so that you wouldn't have frozen water pipes and everything else. What do you have to do
in order to reopen it?
Well, a complete architectural analysis and engineering analysis of the entire structure, a lot of that has already been done. As part of that, using a historically significant architect to be a part of that, who has done a lot of historic theaters, is really what the Sanders family is looking to do. But creating a 501c3 or donating it to an existing 501c3 is really exactly what they want to do. They wouldn't be individually owning it. They would donate that to a nonprofit to be able to rebuild it, work through those studies, work through the new plans to be able to move forward. So the referendum component really is the fact that it allows for a revenue stream for the city of Stevens Point to acquire Center Point Marketplace and, in essence, give the Sanders family the land that the city condemned away from them and tore the back half of their theater off back in the early 80s.
Why was it necessary to tear the back half of the theater off in order to build the mall? I've never understood that.
In essence, it probably wasn't necessary as much as it was simplistic in that it could square off the building. But Sarah might be able to talk about that a little more specifically.
I would say the history that I've heard on the building is that right now it's a loading zone. So there's just an alley back there. And then it connects to what would have been a third anchor for the mall that never materialized. So I can see where in the planning process, perhaps to someone it made sense.
But when they tore that part of the building off, they tore off the stage.
They did.
Which meant that you could not only not show movies there, but you couldn't have theatrical productions. You can't have,
right.
Couldn't have bands play there.
Right. Yeah, not just the stage, but any of the fly area, the dressing rooms underneath, where the heating mechanism was, the furnace was. I mean, it really did a number to the building.
So all of that is going to have to be somehow reacquired and rebuilt. And if all things go as well as can possibly happen, when will we be able to go to the Fox Theater and see productions again? Andrew, any idea?
Well, I think that certainly has not been determined. I would imagine it's going to be at least 24 months, if not 36 months, prior to the doors opening of that building. It's going to take a lot of work.
Andrew Halverson, the mayor of Stevens Point, Michael Ostrowski, his community development director, Sarah Robinson of the Downtown Business Association. All we're missing is you. If you'd like to join the conversation, 1-800-780-9742. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio.
Now New York has its Times Square, Chicago has its Lou. But Stevens Point has its Market Square where we get our beverage by the shovel when they play the polka. From Stevens Point, how we laugh, how we dance, how we shout. Then we grab our partner by the hand and we skip and scamper about. Brewed in that city of wonderful water. But when they play the polka, we'll drink anything but water. Lift your glasses to the sky and drink it down when they play that Stevens Point polka.
And we are playing the Stevens Point polka. Thanks to my friend Neil Zunker and the Music Connection. We have Stevens Point Mayor Andrew Halverson, the Downtown Business Association Executive Director Sarah Robinson, and also the Mayor's Community Development Director Michael Ostrowski. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51, and we are talking about the successful referendum, the $5.9 million referendum that was passed on Tuesday, and that is going to make big changes happen in downtown Stevens Point. If you'd like to join the conversation, 1-800-780-9742. Maybe you think it was a bad idea. If so, the mayor is on the radio right now. He's here, ready to talk to you. Live on the air, 1-800-780-9742. Or maybe you think this is a wonderful thing for Stevens Point and you'd like to give him a shout-out. Either way, this is your radio show. We'd love to hear from you. Andrew, we were talking in fact, you came in here and you said, you're not going to play the Stevens Point polka again. And I said, oh, yes, I am. and you were mentioning that the line about pure water
Yes.
is something that is truer now than ever.
It is. It is. It's actually very relevant. Many years ago, the city's motto was the City of Wonderful Water. That was changed to Gateway to the Pineries under Mayor Schultz almost 20 years ago now. Well, most recently, we brought that slogan back because we were named the best tasting water in North America, actually, at the American Water Works Association, beating out actually New York City, which was a special treat for us. And I got a chance to stand next to their water commissioner in Chicago when we did that. It was a lot of fun. In fact, speaking of Point beer, I still owe Mayor Bloomberg a six-pack of Point beer, reminding him that it is brewed in the city of wonderful water with the best tasting water in North America. So it is. It was a great honor for us. And that old polka, which actually is a very old song, but actually one of my favorites. I thought you might pull that out on us today, which is good. But it is. We are the city of wonderful water again because of that award. In fact, we have two simultaneous mottos as we speak.
1-800-780-9742. Let's go to the phones. And we have, is it Tamara in Stevens Point? Tamara?
Yes.
Yes, you are on the radio. Your question for Mayor Halverson or Mike Ostrowski or Sarah Robinson.
Hi. I did vote yes for the resolution. And what I've been hearing from other people that I've talked to that voted no was that there was some concern not just about these expenditures, but that this will lead to more money needing to be spent in the future, like as the projects move on. And I'm just wondering what the thoughts are on that.
Well, thank you for your call. The $5.9 million was really one that we estimated for acquisition of the CenterPoint Marketplace for the real estate as well as operating agreements that actually exist currently with that facility. So the estimates that we have are pretty clear that demolition, rework of roads, injection of green space into the area, really in essence the first $3.8 million of the 5.9 really will be used for property acquisition, mid-states relocation incentive to move that college into downtown. But then roughly $2 million to $2.1 million is going to be, in essence, held in suspense to be used specifically for the public input sessions that we're going to have to define the center portion of that building, because folks wanted to be able to have a more direct say in what's going to happen to it. So we feel quite confident that, you know, $2 to $2.1 million is going to be adequate to handle the renovations and or demolition of the area in the middle. So there, you know, we don't know exactly where construction costs are going to come in. The estimates clearly are using the best available data. We may need a little bit more money to fulfill what the folks want for that center section, but quite honestly, it may be slightly less. But certainly the estimates that we've used for construction costs, demolition, acquisition, we feel are quite close.
Tamara, do you have a follow-up question?
Nope. I'm just very excited that we as a city are finally going to be doing something with that poor, sad building downtown that's kind of been an albatross, so...
I agree. Well, and thank you for your support on the referendum. We appreciate it. It's just wonderful that citizens have taken ownership of this and decided that it's time to move forward. I think it's great.
And Tamara, I've got a question for you. I'm looking out the window right now, and it's quite dark. What radio station are you listening to us on right now?
On the AM station. Sadly, in my car, I can get the 89.1, but in my house, for some reason, I cannot get it on any radio, so 9:30 a.m.
So even with the lower power, you're able to pick us up right now.
Yeah, not good quality, but...
All right, well, thanks so much for the call, and we do have another caller. And let's go to Cynthia in Stevens Point. Cynthia, you're on Route 51 with Mayor Andrew Halverson, Michael Ostrowski, and Sarah Robinson.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
I did vote... I'm sorry?
Thanks for calling.
Oh, sure. I did vote yes for the referendum completely. I'm very excited about it. But I have a lot of concerns now with everything that's going on in Madison and the impact of the salary and benefit cuts to our state employees. And I'm concerned about those ramifications to my friends in the downtown Stevens Point businesses. And all of this is kind of happening at the same time. And I'm just wondering, you know, with the mayor, what are your thoughts about the fact that discretionary income is really going to be limited for many families now, and the opportunity to shop downtown and access these new resources may not be available to so many people.
Mayor, I understand you actually had a news release on this subject this morning, so we're going to talk about it. Let's get into it.
Well, I certainly sent a press release out this morning that really laid out my opposition to, in essence, what is the complete gutting of collective bargaining for all public employees throughout the state of Wisconsin. I think it goes way too far, way too fast, and is something that clearly is not the right direction for a progressive state like Wisconsin to move in. I understand the employees, really the need for the employees to pay their component of the WRS. I understand that. What I very much would have liked to have seen is had that increase to the 5.8% of WRS happen in a phased fashion where you had a 24 to 36 month period of time to find that process, which would really, what Cynthia is talking about is exactly right. I mean, in essence, what this will do is suck over $1 billion in liquidity immediately out of the state economy.
Andrew, you're talking in shorthand again. What's a WRS?
Oh, I'm sorry. The Wisconsin Retirement System.
Okay.
I apologize.
Okay.
There is an employer contribution. There is an employee contribution.
And the employees would have to do 50%.
Of the total contribution, which is 11% for non-protective services employees.
And 12% of their health care. But what I've been hearing from employees, they expected that they would have to be paying more or paying something along the line. What most of them are very upset about is not so much that they have to pay more. It's not about the money. It's the question of union busting, the fact that collective bargaining rights are being stripped from public employees for the first time since Governor Gaylord Nelson signed them into the law back in 1959.
Yeah, this is really an unprecedented move by the Walker administration in terms of what it means. I mean, I may be the chief administrator and in essence the chief manager for the city of Stevens Point. We have over 235 employees, but I also have not forgotten that organized labor put food on my table for 18 years. And in essence, we have fought very hard in the city of Stevens Point to have respectful negotiations, respectful conversations between organized labor and management. And even if we wanted to be able to have those conversations, this would make it illegal for us to do that. And I think that is just absolutely over the line.
Now, what the governor says is that he has no option. He has to move forward with it. He has to move forward with it in a hurry. He has to do away with collective bargaining because we're in an emergency. He's got to get the budget taken care of right away. And because he's going to cut payments to local municipalities, he's going to have to give people like you the flexibility to deal with your own employees without having to collectively bargain with them.
Well, and his tools, if you will, in air quotes, are the employee contribution to WRS, Wisconsin Retirement System, being a mandate, which will probably end up saving us on the taxpayer side and on the levy side between $3,000 and $4,000 an employee. So I understand that. And if we're able to take advantage of that, it'll be, you know, we have a couple contracts that are already settled. So we're looking at between $344,000, $350,000, $360,000, somewhere in there in savings if they are mandated to pay the employee contribution for WRS. But for us, what will the next step then be? Are we looking at a 10, 15, 20, 30% reduction in shared revenue? Our shared revenue is 3.1 to 3.3 million. You know, that is not something that we can just automatically continue the service level that we have if we lose all that revenue. So I don't understand the speed. Quite frankly, if we need to change collective bargaining to quote unquote make it more responsive to this day and age, well, then let's take it one step at a time. But let's not throw it out the window.
How do you feel about the fact that it's all been slowed down now because the state senators have hightailed it out of town? They're in northern Illinois. They've been chased by the state patrol, and that includes your local state senator, Julie Lassa.
Senator Lassa is in an undisclosed location in the state of Illinois.
Maybe she's there with Dick Cheney. I don't know.
I highly doubt that. But what I do know is clearly the governor of Illinois apparently made a very clear statement reminding the Wisconsin State Patrol that they don't have jurisdiction in the state of Illinois, which I found very interesting. But listen, they had that was somewhat amusing. What isn't amusing is the situation that we face right now as a state. And for the Democratic senators to have to take it to this level to even find a way to start to engage in the process is truly unbelievable.
Cynthia, you are still on the line, and we've been kind of chatting here without you. I don't know if the mayor answered your question or if you've got a follow-up comment.
Well, I guess I would just say that I am extremely happy to hear what the mayor is saying. You know, my spouse is a teacher, and you know, this has been a very devastating couple of days for us in trying to figure out what we're going to do. So, I feel like there's been a lack of a voice coming out of Stevens Point. And so I just want to say to the mayor that, you know, I'm just glad to hear what you're saying, and that makes me very happy. And I just hope, you know, that with this referendum being passed that, you know, we can still find success for these business owners in Stevens Point, because they really just provide such a wonderful place to live and great services for all of us.
Great. Well,
so
certainly.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Cynthia, and certainly thanks for being engaged with this conversation. I absolutely recognize the WRS component of it. I disagree with it all coming right away. I just think that does take a tremendous amount of discretionary income out of the economy. What I truly am absolutely shocked at is the speed with which collective bargaining, in essence, is going to be erased in the state of Wisconsin, and the impact that that's going to have on working families and public employees, state, local, and otherwise. This is just going too far too fast. I mean, this is a progressive state, and any of you three that are in the studio can correct me, but I'm almost positive that the state of Wisconsin was the first state to have collective bargaining in the union.
It was the first state.
Okay, so.
And it was signed into law again in 1959 by
Gaylord Nelson.
Gaylord Nelson.
This is just something that I don't think we should erase, number one. And if we are going to change it and modify it exponentially, we shouldn't do it in 3 days.
Cynthia, thanks so much for the phone call. And
thank you.
Andrew Halverson, I think this is the first time anybody accused you of not having enough of a voice on anything. Sarah, I want to move to you. Let's follow up on Cynthia's point. What does this mean for downtown retailers that suddenly you've got a lot of people, a lot of public employees in Stevens Point who no longer have that discretionary income?
Yeah, I think it's certainly a concern when you're relying on people to be able to, you know, a lot of the retail that we have downtown is specialty retail. It's not stuff that you necessarily need every day or you need on a consistent basis. You know, it's kind of the bigger purchases, the special purchases. So certainly having people with that discretionary income available to spend it is necessary for those businesses to continue.
And Michael Ostrowski, in terms of from a community development perspective, what does it mean when you have one of your biggest employer bases, UW-Stevens Point, all of the teachers, all of these public employees who suddenly no longer have the resources that they used to have?
I think it's going to be difficult. It's going to affect the whole community, not just the downtown. And I think that's why we need to continue to do things such as Mid-State to pull individuals to certain locations that are going to need it the most to help support those businesses.
I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. We are talking about the successful passage of the referendum, the $5.9 million referendum in Stevens Point that promises to make big changes downtown. We have sort of segued into the governor's budget proposal and the impact that it will have on cities like Stevens Point, UW-Stevens Point, and the retail base that depends on employees with discretionary income. If you would like to comment on either of those topics, our lines are wide open right now, 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network.
The businesses, professionals, and organizations that support Wisconsin Public Radio's programming play an important part in our financial health. When you visit a WPR sponsor, please let them know that you appreciate their support of this station. Thanks very much.
I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51 in Regional Talk Radio. Let's go back to the phones. And we have Cody in Stevens Point on the line with Andrew Halverson, Mike Ostrowski, and Sarah Robinson. Cody, you're on Route 51. Hello, Cody.
Yeah. Mayor
okay.
Halverson, I have a
That was my fault, Cody. I didn't have you potted up. We've only been 3 weeks in this new studio, and I'm still getting used to where the all the switches are. So if you could start your question again, please.
Okay. Good afternoon, Mayor Halverson and others. I'm a resident of Stevens Point, and I'd like to ask the mayor if he can comment on how is it that we can pass this referendum, yet we underfund education in the Stevens Point Area School District, as demonstrated by two failed referendums. Secondly, if he can provide an update in terms of the flood zone control, which we're looking to work with FEMA on, who's going to pay the insurance on this property in the meantime? until that happens? And thirdly, is there any conflict of interest that he feels he has owning Andrew's Menswear, which is in that downtown area?
Good questions. Good questions, Cody. What station are you listening to us on right now, just for my own?
89.1.
Let's start off with the last question. Do you have a conflict, Mayor Halverson, passing this because you own Andrew's, a men's clothing store downtown that may stand to benefit from the changes that you've instituted?
Yeah, I do own a store, which is right on the corner of 3rd Court and Main Street. But no, I don't own that real estate. I do own the business. But certainly I have a lot of historical connection with that location. I started working actually in that building when I was 15 years old at a men's clothing store that was called Parkinson's before that. So I always wanted to be an owner of a business that would be in downtown and be part of that building.
But you don't own the building, but still you own the business. Now, if you have all these new people from Mid-State Technical College, doesn't that mean your business is going to be more successful and you stand to benefit financially from it?
Well, it certainly will help the traffic flow throughout the downtown, although I think the demographics of the folks that are going to be attending class at Mid-State probably won't, you know, come into our store for the product lines that we offer. But, you know, it's one of those things where I had a decision about 5 years ago where I had an opportunity to either keep my businesses out on the east side or move them into downtown, and I wanted to be a part of that investment and part of that commitment to the central city back then. So,
but you don't think that this poses a political problem for you, owning a business downtown and also pushing the referendum?
No, not at all, because these plans and really to be able to energize the downtown existed well before I took office. And in essence, we've been very open about the fact that the store exists, it's there. And I think the folks were able to realize that it's about, you know, the entire community and all of downtown rather than certainly just my facility. There was a question about the mall and insurance and the flood zone. The mall itself does not exist in the 100-year floodplain, so there isn't going to be any additional information, insurance that's going to be required on the mall. The caller was also talking about specifically a flood zone map reworking that we're actually working with FEMA on right now. That's set to be submitted from the engineering firm to FERC, which is the federal regulatory agency that runs the flowage system, and the Army Corps of Engineers for a study of the levee that we're going to improve. And then as part of that, once they sign off on that, probably in the next 60 to 90 days, then we'll be able to remove about 200 households from the 100-year floodplain, and that will save those property owners anywhere between $800 and $1,300 a year in flood insurance.
And the first question Cody asked you involved the fact that Stevens Point has a history of failed referendums, including referendums for your overcrowded high schools. And I think, and Cody, you can correct me if I'm wrong, the thrust of the question was, why are we passing this for downtown when the school district needs all of this help?
Well, I think that's going to be a question that we'd have to ask the voters collectively. I agree with Cody in that I wish all of the subsequent referenda that we've had most recently would have passed. I've supported them and think that we do underfund education, certainly in Stevens Point. But the voters in the Stevens Point Area Public School District, which of course is larger than just the city, resoundingly said that they didn't want to fund them at those levels. I disagree with that. That's unfortunate. I think the difference, and also as I said at the beginning of this program, is that the difference between this referendum and others was the fact that it was able to accomplish a lot of different things simultaneously. You had the ability to now move downtown, the Mid-State Technical College, which indirectly is an investment in education. You have an opportunity now to have youth intervention with the Boys and Girls Club to be a huge component of this. You add an answer now and add certainty to the downtown so that people, as Michael and I meet with the developers that come into downtown, they don't have to ask us, well, what's happening with that facility across the street? We have an answer for them now. Better exposure for the Children's Museum, and then ultimately reopening an icon in the city of Stevens Point that folks have wanted. So I wish we could have passed those referenda for the schools.
We are completely out of time. Michael, you've got anything yet you want to add?
No, I would just like to say thank you to the voters who supported this referendum on Tuesday.
And Sarah, you excited about what's going to happen downtown?
Absolutely. We're going to have a good couple years.
And we want to thank today's guests, Stevens Point Mayor Andrew Halverson, Community Development Director Michael Ostrowski, and the Executive Director of the Downtown Business Association, Sarah Robinson. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, and our on-air producer, Jacob Clotty. Thanks, as always, to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. Special music tonight by Neil Zunker and the Music Connection.
That's Stevens Point Polka.
Next Thursday on Route 51, we analyze Governor Walker's state budget proposal, including what it means for union workers, the UW system, funding for other programs, with our guest, Jeff Johnson, the chair of the Marathon County Democratic Party and a former union steward for the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees. Joining us from Stevens Point, we have Portage County Republican Bob Williams of Ideas Associates, a former aide to Wisconsin Republican Governor, and UW Stevens Point Chancellor Lee Sherman Dreyfus. Also joining us, Rob Menser, editorial page director for the Wausau Daily Herald. That's a newspaper that endorsed Scott Walker for governor in the 2010 election. Thanks again for riding along with us today. Until next week, we're heading out of town.
From Stevens Point, how we laugh, how we dance, how we shout. Then we grab our partner by the hand, and we skip and scamper about. Rooted in that city of wonder.